before the bloodbath begins, slither your way over to the host's socials. For the podcast, slash over to Twitter at the BHO underscore podcast. Instagram, the Baron's Hideout podcast. Then stab over to Dean's Instagram at Dean of the Dead Hot Sauce. Listen to the show on your favorite apps and Patreon. Enjoy the slay and try to stay alive. For the next period of time, strap in as the hosts rip and tear at the unsuspecting guests, in which they learn their dark secrets and methods of the genre. In this bloodbath, no one gets out alive. This is Within the Barons.
Dustin, and I have a co-host today who is
also Dustin
from the Flicks and Friends podcast, and we're joined today with Michael Terrio. Many would know him as Dr. Folly of Cult of Chucky, Nathan Cross from the Chucky TV series, and sort of other characters on there as well, and many other TV shows and movies. But today we're here to talk about his character Gil from Here for Blood. Michael, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Thank you for being here. And Dustin, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's been a long week, but I always look forward to doing these shows and talking to amazing people like Michael to talk about these films that I love. And I said this for the last two people I interviewed, which was James and Sean, for this. I think this is, even though it's the beginning of the year still, so it might change, but this is my favorite movie of the year, and the year just started.
Oh, that's great. It's dude, this, nice to hear.
This movie ripped so hard, man. It was so good. I loved it.
It's so, James is a really funny writer. Like, I think his writing is so good. Like, I remember when auditioning for this, I the scene was making me laugh, and I just thought, I just really want to be a part of this. So yeah, it's I agree. It's a really well, cleverly written show.
Yeah, it really is. And before we start diving into everything you're doing now, what I always like to do to kind of get everybody to know you a little bit better, and for myself to know you a little bit better, is to kind of go back to the beginning of where everything started for you with acting or anything else that you did. So at what point in your life did you decide or feel acting is what I want to do?
Well, I was quite young. I was grade six or so. And back then it was like the 80s, and there was a TV show called Fame that was on. And I remember thinking, there's gotta be a school like that. I live in Toronto. I pulled out the phone book, which doesn't exist anymore, and and found two schools in Ontario, and wrote them, and they sent me their stuff. And I said to my parents, can I go there? And they said no, because it's like an hour and a half away. And when I was in grade eight, a kid in my class was going, and I hitched a ride with them and went, and I got into these two schools. And my parents again were like, no, it's too expensive, it's like really far. And I was a really tiny, shy kid, and they were like, you're gonna get killed getting there. And my principal somehow, I was like a super shy kid, somehow met with my parents. I don't know how that happened, talked them into it, found all the funding for it, and then that changed my life.
Wow. Yeah.
It's one of those kind of crazy things. I've never been able to thank that principal, because like, I literally was so shy. Like, I don't even know how he even knew, but he somehow got word of it and made it happen. Yeah. It was amazing.
That's funny too.
And then from there, I got an agent from my school. Like, it all just snowballed from there.
Wow. Saying that you were shy as a kid and now seeing where you are now, of all the things that you've done, you definitely, you know, outgrew that. And now you're in a lot of things, and everything that you do, I think, is pretty funny. There's a comical, you know, aspect to things that you do. And also there's a serious side of it. And I don't know, everything that I've seen with you in it has been super enjoyable. People say, you know, Cult of Chucky, you know, this fans of it, this fan, not fans of it, but it's enjoyable nonetheless. And then, you know, seeing the Chucky TV series, and seeing you in that again, and then seeing you in this is astonishing. It's awesome.
Oh, nice.
But you know, going through, you know, going to school and picking up TV shows, was there anything before, I want to say, this horror bloom for you, was there anything that you was really into at the time that you like, this is like the type of genre that you feel more comfortable in?
You know what? The horror thing is all a big surprise, because I was afraid of horror film when I was young, you know, in my teen years and kid, I didn't watch them. Like they scared me. And I didn't want to be scared. So so it's a bit of a surprise that I've been doing a lot of work in this genre, and it's fun now. I particularly like the horror that has a bit of a comic slant to it.
Yes.
And I'm lucky to be, you know, get to work with writers who write like that and projects like that. But it wasn't something I'd set out for. My career started, I was actually on a path to do musicals, really. And wow. Then I went to the Stratford Festival, which is like a rep company here in Canada. And I went there and doing music, you do three plays there. So I did a musical, I did a Shakespeare, and a modern play or Italian play. And the artistic director and just took a liking to me. And I started just doing Shakespeare out of, like, in classics for like 7 years. And then when I got out, when I left there to do a musical in Toronto, people were like, he does musicals? We had no idea. We thought I just did Shakespeare. And then I got a job in Canada. There was a mini series about Tommy Douglas, who created healthcare in Canada. I didn't even know who he was. Like, he was a politician. He was a minister, became a politician, created healthcare, which we now still enjoy. I wish you had the same. I know you.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I played him in a 3-hour miniseries about him. And that changed. Then all of a sudden I was a TV guy. Like, it completely changed things. So my career's had a lot of surprises to me, went very strange in different directions. And I think the horror thing really is because of Chucky. Then I just started getting hired more for that.
Oh, wow. That's yeah. Really cool to hear, you know, how much you progressed through that. Musicals is one thing that I've started really getting into as of late, because there's been a lot of plays near me that have been turned into musicals. There's one that I'm seeing next week, which is the Evil Dead musical that I'm super excited for that.
Yeah, it's so good. Fun.
Yeah, so I'm really, really excited for that. And then that's kind of just bloomed me getting into more musicals and watching movies with musical elements to it. Because myself, I'm a musician at heart. I grew up, you know, playing drums and guitar and being in bands and everything. So music has always been like a big part of my life, and horror as well. So to know that you have a background of being in musicals and now you're starting a new background and horror is awesome. But Dustin, well, I'll let you throw a few questions as well, because I know you have a few over there.
There are musicals you'd probably enjoy that are darker, like Sweeney Todd or Shop of Horrors, or, you know, that play on darker, spookier themes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I just want to touch on the musical thing, man. Like, going through high school, I was in a construction class that we built sets for, like, Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Oh, yeah.
Seussical, the musical, Hello, Dolly. Like, I've built covers for Pits. So I've been in the musicals almost my whole life, man. But trying, like, to piggyback off that, Beetlejuice the musical is probably
one of the best
ones I've seen. So good. But yeah, I just wanted to ask, with your newfound horror, I didn't know you from Chucky or Cult of Chucky. When I seen you in Hue for Blood, I was like, he was in an episode of Cabinets of Curiosity.
That's right. Yeah.
And I, over here on the Flicks and Friends, man, we love Guillermo del Toro. Like, he is just, he's a genius. And I wanted to know, like, did you get to meet him while you were working on that show?
I didn't, unfortunately.
Shit.
I know he was around, but, like, I never saw him. You know, he was, I think, really respectful of each director of each of those movies and left them to their, you know, oversaw it from a distance, but let them do their thing. I think he, because he curated that whole series and handpicked each director, I think he wanted them to do what they did best. And so I never saw him, unfortunately. Oh, but I agree, he's fantastic.
But you did get to see Peter Weller.
I did.
What was it like working with RoboCop?
It was fun. He's interesting. That was such an interesting experience because most of the movie was all of us sitting in a circle, which is really unusual for any kind of filmed thing. That sounds more like a play. Like one set, people sitting and talking.
Yeah.
Most movies it's not about the words, it's about the visuals. Mm-hmm. So you're changing locations a lot to keep it interesting. So that was quite an interesting experience, because also as an actor who has a role in this machine, you usually come in for your days and do your stuff, and you might not even meet the other people. So he was an interesting guy. He's a musician, so he always had an instrument around, like I think it was like a saxophone or something. He has lots of stories about kind of old Hollywood, like it's amazing how things have changed though. Like, his, I don't know if this makes me sound like a jerk or not, but his heyday kind of, it was a very different kind of, the world was different. There wasn't so much, so... Yeah, it was neat hearing that perspective and going, oh, that things really have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. So RoboCop serenaded y'all. I mean, I don't know. I would, be happy with life after that, man.
He has quite an incredible voice. His speaking voice is so lead. I sound like a teenager. I wish I had that sort of movie.
Yeah.
But that audition was interesting because when I auditioned, they wanted a British accent, and then I called back and he said, okay, do like, he wanted four different types of British accents. And I was like, oh God, do I even have that? So I was trying to figure that out. And then we went back just to the one sort of what I auditioned with, but it's neat when you audition for things, you don't know what it's going to be. So I auditioned in a suit and I was sort of like I was imagining I was a rich snotty guy, and then when I had my fitting, it was like hippie clothes, and I was like, oh, this is not who I thought he was. Oh, okay, I'm gonna rethink this. So he became slightly different than what I had auditioned with, because that was all new, really cool information. I mean, he was an amazing designer, but I remember sort of going, oh, this is, how do I fit this now? This is so not what I thought it was. It's so interesting. And that's that happens cool. All the time. Costumes will completely maybe make you rethink what you thought you were going to do. Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
That's one aspect I really like about hearing people talk about acting or in roles, how they have like this vision of who they think they're going to be portraying as, because on paper you're reading something, so you just have the lines there. And then like, oh, here's your uniform and here's your set. So now you're actually seeing what it looks like, and like, wow, now I really have to go and redo everything now. But I think that idea of like having to shift your mind, like people like you, Michael, who are actors, who are able to do that, to shift your mind into a different space, I think that alone is pure talent. I don't know if I would be able to do that.
I think anyone can. You're just playing pretend, right? Like don't undersell yourself. I mean, everybody's got their imaginary world, and you just kind of go, okay, what does this make me think about?
Sure.
Here for Blood, it was interesting. I thought the designer for that did a great job too. Like when I showed up, there was that pink shirt, and which like is all very soft, and Gil's really pushed around, and I thought, oh, that's actually really wise. Like Gil's kind of getting dressed up, but he also it's a soft look, which also makes him seem like a pushover. It adds to the feeling of pushover, like trying too hard to be cool, but maybe overdoing it. That was a kind of a neat choice. That was a pleasant surprise when I saw that shirt. I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
That film is amazing. And I want to lead up into that, but One thing I want to ask, you know, kind of easing you and the audience into your newfound background of horror, is getting into the Chucky universe and family. So how did that kind of come about, I guess, starting with Cult of Chucky?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had an audition for a film. It wasn't called Cult of Chucky. It was called something else because it was under a pseudonym. I didn't know it was Chucky at all. And I, you know, the thing as an actor, you get these sides and you don't really get the whole story. So you kind of have to guess what you think's happening. Mm-hmm. And you audition on tape and you send it off and go, I don't know. Was that the right vibe? I don't know. And I got the part, which was amazing. And then I found out it was Chucky and I kind of couldn't believe it. I called all my friends and said, I'm in a freaking Chucky movie. But one of the nicest memories of that is Don Mancini called me at home and said, I just want to say welcome to the sort of family and really looking forward to meeting with you. And I said, a director has never done this, has wow. never called me at home ever to say welcome. He goes, well, I think you'll find people in horror are actually really, really nice. I was like, yeah, I think I'm already finding that out. And they really are, especially on Don Mancini, that group. Don is such a kind, like, thoughtful, easygoing person, like, that I feel like he sort of sets the tone of kindness, you know. You kind of meet, when you meet him, you're like, you're the nicest person, how do you come up with these horrible deaths? He's pretty great. And you know, Here for Blood was a really fun set as well. Like, everybody was having a lot of fun, laughing a lot. I think it's also when you're watching people and things are happening, like blood and stuff, it is funny. Like, it's supposed to be scary, but, you know, you're like, oh yeah, that's so gross, but it's awesome. You know, you have that sort of like kind of fun Halloween-ness in it, you know, which is, it's fun. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Dustin, if you have anything else to throw into the pile, go ahead, man.
Yeah. How massive of a human being was Sean Roberts?
He's pretty big.
He just seems,
he seems
massive. Yeah.
Yeah. And a couple of those guys are even bigger.
Oh my God.
I forget the character's name, but there's one of the, I just forget everyone's name. It's just, it was a while ago. We shot it over a year ago. And so forgive me. But one of the really bad guys with the who fought
Sean. At the end, yeah like the big bad at the end, yeah
he's huge. I couldn't get over how big he was. I was already kind of like, okay, Sean's big, but this guy was big. And but I think he's like a nurse during the day, like the nicest person. It's like, do you scare people? Are people are a social worker? He's like a social worker or a nurse, like something with dealing with people in really delicate situations. And he wrestles at night. Like, it's kind of, I wanted to talk to him forever. I was like, I want to know your story. You're so cool. You know?
Yeah.
He was great. Yeah. But I did have to, when it was one day, we all had to get changed in the same area. I was like, I don't want to take my shirt off in front of you guys because I feel like a noodle, you know, because they were all so buff. But anyway.
Yeah, Sean was great when I talked to him. He is one of the nicest people I think I've talked to, because there's been so many people I've talked to. Michael, you're great too. But to hear about his experiences too, and, you know, the film industry and coming in over here and hearing his backgrounds, I feel like everybody in Here for Blood, they all have unique backgrounds that mend so well with everybody. Especially seeing like how your character like really evolves at the end, and you see like what you're doing and what you've been doing, and seeing what everything else is. It's just a crazy film that everybody needs to see. And I'm so happy that, you know, Screambox got it, because Screambox is one of my favorite platforms right now to consume horror.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's really terrific news for sure.
And I was fortunate enough. I was one of the five cities that got a theatrical run.
Yeah,
and I went yesterday and caught it in theaters.
You know, I it also says a lot to Daniel James and the group that created the show, that they that they worked hard enough to get it seen. I mean, that's a lot of work to make people aware and to, you know, I think that's a lot of work. It doesn't just happen, you know? So the kudos to them too, for making that happen.
Yeah.
Making it available to people. Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. There was actually one thing I brought up to, I think, James and Sean, because I, for one, I want to see a lot more of this. And I had this really cool idea of getting it into a comic book. How would you feel of having your character as Gil portrayed in a comic book in like a different timeline or continuation of this movie?
I'd love it. That'd be amazing. Sign me up.
Yes. Yeah. We need that to happen.
Yeah. We get Demon Gil just coming out of the doors, just, you know, love you tight.
Yeah. 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 I'm just looking. I lost. I'm just going blank on names. So I forgive me. I'm just looking this up because, it was fun watching people like Jesse Buck, who played Bernie, who had that, you know, the amazing burn on his face.
Oh my God. His crazy
physical language. He went to like clown school and stuff. So he had this amazing sort of like physical life. He was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I wanted to say, these are just random thoughts, but they're interesting. Daniel's, I think fiance or wife, I'm not sure if they were married or not, built that, you know, that amazing doorway to the other world that
is beautiful.
Like they made it, it was like living in their living room as they're making it for months. And it's such a beautiful piece. And, you know, it really was a family, you know, Daniel and his dad like found the money to do this. And like, that's a kind of cool story in itself too. The sort of, they want to make a horror film. We're going to make it happen. You know, find a writer, get both, make props. Well, you know, the people, the special effects team were so good for an indie film. Like I was kind of blown away by the stuff they came in with. Like,
the masks were amazing.
Yeah.
That's one thing I had to highlight, because we're in an age right now where, you know, slasher killers have been around for a long time now. You know, and masks have been used in not just in horror movies, but in like superhero movies or people drawing them. But seeing the masks that were made in this film, I feel like gave a fresh breath of air to masks. I collect them. And these ones I need to collect because they were so awesome. Even though there's one that's sort of like Ghostface, like, you know, upside down, but
right,
it's so different. I'm like, I need to own these masks.
But well, again, I think that was also Daniel's wife made those. I think she made those masks. I'm pretty sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, 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 really cool. And forgive me, I'm saying wife, but I think they're married. But I'm.
That's okay.
Between between the masks and the I champion practical effects over same. Anything, man. And when we got the screener for Here for Blood and I watched it, I was like, holy crap. Like that dude that when he gets the coil on his face, or the demon that when they finally have to give this home invader something to fight Tom O'Bannon with, you know, cause not that they're all getting their asses kicked.
Yeah.
They give him the demon powers. He takes his mask off. I love that visual of how scary his face was underneath that scary mask. Like they double downed on it. It was just amazing. And like Dustin was saying, all the masks, I like them because they're almost emotionless. Like they look porcelain. That's what makes them very effective, especially the upside down one, because 90% of their shots were overhead or something like to make the mask make sense. I loved it, man. Like I loved everything that was visually scary in this movie was awesome.
And Michael, I want to ask you, because you're in this film kind of in and out, but for the scenes that you were in, or even maybe scenes that you weren't in, was there one that really stands out to you, like that was probably my favorite favorite to either be in, or if you're on set at the time of being shot? Like, was there one that you could pick out and be like, I'm really happy with that?
I really loved watching the actor I just mentioned with the burn on his face. Yeah. I thought it was really fun watching Jesse Buck, watching him do that, because I got to watch him do that as he shot it, and it was cracking me up. I thought he was fantastic. I think maybe that's my favorite memory of being on the set, watching him do it. I thought that the young actress Maya,
yeah,
who was so good for such a little kid. She was fantastic, like so grown up and like on top of everything. I thought everything was lots of fun. But if I had to pick one moment, just watching him navigate, like create that moment of getting burnt, I thought was so funny.
Yes,
yeah. Pops it. Oh yeah. Yeah, I loved it.
So this is everybody's, warning essentially to go and watch this film, because there's some really awesome practical effects, really good dialogue. I think there's a lot of really cool one-liners that are in this film too. Kind of, harks back to like the old 80s films, like Predator. I was telling Sean that this reminds me of like Predator with all the one-liners that Arnold was saying back then. It's like he kind of just took that and put it right in here and did his own twist on it. And then to see you at the end, doing all these crazy things with these cult members, because going into this film, I didn't really read anything that Screambox was telling me about this film. I thought it was just going to be just a home invasion, nothing supernatural going on with it at all. And then, getting introduced to you and the other characters and be like, okay, so they're going to come back and something's going to be happening. Something did happen, but then it was way more than what I thought it was. And then to see what you were mixed into and be like, okay, so you were the one that kind of wanted to start this thing to get people in there to, make all these crazy things happen. And then you have Dee Snider, who's voicing the head,
which I think
is amazing as well.
Yeah.
It's great, great, great stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was fun when I read it for the first time, like reading, when I got the part and got to read the script, I was like, oh God, this is really funny, funny writing. And lots of big surprises where you don't see that's coming. And definitely cool. And, at that same time, I was shooting Cabinet of Curiosities. So,
oh, really?
James, who wrote the show, wrote the script very kindly, because at that point I didn't drive. I now drive, but I didn't drive then. So he would come for, like, it's a long drive. It's like 2 hours from or more from where they were shooting, maybe 3 hours, and come and pick me up from the set of that and bring me to London, Ontario to shoot this and go back and forth. The poor guy, I was like, are you sleeping? but
no,
but what was really great about it is I did get to talk to him a lot. And so, cause I really do think he's a smart writer. And that was kind of a nice highlight of the whole thing too. Cause most of the time you work in film and TV, you don't get a lot of time to hang out with anybody. It's very different than a play. In a play, you spend a few weeks with the whole group of people and you really bond. But in TV and movies and stuff, you show up for the days you're supposed to film and you usually just hang out in your waiting area until they come get you. You shoot it and you go home. So you don't get as much time to connect with people.
Yeah.
So those drives, I was really glad I got to connect with him. And I did get one drive up I got to really get to know Jesse Buck.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for a little bit, which was it's the only reason I know about him going to clown school in France. And, I didn't know any of that stuff. So
it really shows too with how he can act on screen. Like he needs to be in more roles like that. Very quirky and crazy, because what he can do is, it's amazing. And there's a clip out there that I think everybody has seen at this part, this point, is when he gets his hand chopped off in the shed,
dude,
which is so funny.
Yeah, totally.
It's like this poor guy, like each time he like just shows up on screen out of nowhere, there's Sean Roberts there getting ready to do something to him. I'm like, this poor guy throughout the whole movie. But before this, were you a fan of wrestling at all, or are you a fan now, or is it
good question.
I never watched it. I grew up, when wrestling was really big when I was a kid, so I but I didn't really watch it. I really I really admire what those people can do, especially now that I've had to do a little bit of fighting in theater. You know, you realize, oh my God, this is so much work. And it's mm-hmm. nothing to the extent that they do. So the watching the skill it takes to do that and sell it and not hurt the person you're actually pretending to hurt, it's pretty impressive. Yeah, like the worst I've ever had to do was like a really long sword fight. And I felt like I rehearsed that sword fight more than the play. Like, you know, and by the end, I was like, can the understudies do it? It's like, it's so tiring.
Yeah.
And that's probably my favorite part, though, is when the boyfriend that's killed in the car goes, yeah, you're just a fake wrestler. And I'm like, oh boy, I know what's about to happen right now, man. Like tell them to their face is fake and watch what happens, yeah, man.
That was a fun character too, the boyfriend. Yeah. The character I really loved as an actor, I know, and I thought he was so funny. Stephen Love, who played the pizza delivery guy.
Yeah.
I thought was just a really fun, he was poor so guy. Fun. in that small, really short scene, he was so, so funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really took a small, like an opportunity to make something memorable.
Sure.
Here's a good question that I wanted to answer to, because it seems like most of these characters that you've been playing as of late have kind of a twist to them. You know, they can be a little sinister, but they can be kind of quirky at the same time. Are we going to be seeing more sinister roles for you? Are you starting to like those roles?
Yeah, I love them. No, I love them. I seem to lately get hired more for bad guys than good guys. I don't know. Unless more believable as a jerk, I guess, but it is fun playing a jerk. It's fun playing, like, yeah, they're actually more fun than nice people. Anyway, that's
hell yeah. I'm excited for that. I really want to know, like, what else you're going to be doing and whatnot. If there's anything that you can say right now, are you working on anything?
Not right now. Everything really slowed down because of the strikes.
Yeah.
So there, everything, you know, most things in Toronto just shut down. There are a couple Canadian things, but most of the stuff that shoots here is American, and it just closed down. I'm on another show that's on TV now, just like in two episodes, but playing a bad guy Fellow Travelers, which is a mini series on Paramount Plus, I think.
Oh, I got to go check that out.
Yeah, and it's really good. It's the right man who wrote. Names just go out the window.
There's so many people, names.
Yeah, who wrote Philadelphia? He was the showrunner, okay. And it's really well done. And I play an asshole, and yeah, it was fun to play an asshole again.
Awesome, man! Yeah. I'm excited. Dustin, is there any last questions that you want to throw?
No, I think I asked what I asked and got what I got.
Awesome. yeah, Michael, I mean, I think I ran through everything as well. This was a great chat to, you know, get to know you and, you know, hear about your background and in theater and musicals and now stepping into horror and being more bad guys, which I think is great. I really like you in that role, but I do want to see you in some, you know, nice roles as well, where you're not going to be doing anything bad.
Yeah, but, yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Until the end, when the twist happens.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
the entire time you've been good, and then the twist happens. Yeah. But this was amazing, and Dustin, thank you for sitting on here. Michael, it was a pleasure talking to you, man. Yeah, this was great.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being on. And everybody, go check out Here for Blood. It's on Screenbox right now. Go check out all of Michael's other stuff. Go check out all the Chucky's he's in, all the other numerous shows that he's been in. If you go on his IMDb, it's a giant list of things. So you're busy, and that's great. I'm glad to, you know, see that with actors, because there's always sometimes there's a lull there. Like right now, you're just saying that, you know, things are shut down, but now you're starting to get into more things, and I'm always happy to see that. But Michael, thank you so much for being here, man. It means a lot.
Thank you. Well, take care, guys.
We'll see everybody next time. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.